there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Milt.
And together, we are Oh My Word, a podcast where we review books, movies, TV shows, and whatever else we feel like to give you a hint at what's going on, if it's appropriate, if it's not appropriate, what it's like violence-wise and language-wise, the content, some of the subtle or not so subtle messaging going on, basically making you informed consumers of media.
We clutch our pearls so you don't have to, even though you're always welcome to clutch your pearls with us.
We clutch our pearls so you don't have to. Can we please make that our motto?
Yes. I thought pearls will be clutched was sort of our motto, but maybe that's a better motto.
Can we have more than one motto?
Yeah, because obviously we wouldn't fully agree probably on a motto because that would fit us. So we're both going to have both that's mottos true. At the same time and both pretend like it's our only motto or something like that.
Pearls will be clutched and we clutch our pearls so you don't have to. You're so good at this. Every once in a while, you just come out with a line that's like so pithy and so perfect. You should be a writer.
Oh, thank you. You know what? And that is actually a perfect segue, not for the book we're going to talk about, but for massive news that I need to share, even though you probably know about this already by now, because I've already put this on all the channels. I recently signed a new deal for a new trilogy. First book coming out, please God, next year, spring 2022. It's going to be sort of like an epic-ish style fantasy, loosely based on the legend of the Pied Piper. So it's not totally like the end of After series, which are fairy tale retellings. This is totally different, totally new universe, and totally different style of storytelling. Because this is a third-person narrative, multi-perspective telling, instead of my usual first-person kind of voice.
I need confetti and balloons and air horns and oh my goodness, that is so exciting. Everyone at home, I hope you are applauding and crying and shouting and popping some bubbly right now because that is super exciting news.
Hooray!
Congratulations.
It is exciting. And you could go to Goodreads and add it to your to-read shelf so that when it comes out, you'll get a reminder for it till the pre-orders come up. And just tell everybody about it. Tell people about the new series. Tell people about the podcast. Speak to them about the work we're doing.
Yes. Yeah, if you're not speaking to them about anything else, at least you can speak to them about this.
Yeah. Don't worry if you've never met the person before and you just bumped into them on the street. You should just speak to them about this stuff anyway. It's not weird.
No, people are very open-minded about that kind of thing.
Yeah, everyone likes being approached by random strangers who tell them about podcasts they should listen to and books they should read. Right?
Absolutely.
That has nothing to do with why we're in a basement.
Okay, we're in a basement because it's smart for us to be in a place away from other people, but we are still communicating with other people. First of all, we talk to each other like all the time. And second of all, we're talking to the great wide world through our podcast. So we're covered, but for everyone else, they need to communicate in person by bumping into strangers.
Right. And speaking of communicating with strangers, okay, watch this segue. Today we're going to talk about Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card. And even though the book came out many years ago, it's still such a fantastic read and something that every year there's just a new audience of readers for this book. And the reason why it has to do with communication, because there's a little bit of spoiler alert.
Drumroll.
Part of the whole thing that Ender, okay, it's a futuristic world, kind of a dystopian sort of world where Earth and humanity, well, it's not just Earth because they're also up in space. So it's a sci-fi and humanity is being attacked by, they call the aliens buggers. They're coming to attack and this war has been going on for forever and they're trying to train kids for whatever reason to fight against the bugger. And they recruit them. They try to find the brightest of the brightest and all the really smart kids. And one of these kids one day is basically going to be the savior. He's going to save everybody by fighting off the buggers. Right. And eventually that's Ender. And the way they train them is they play all these sort of games in their training kind of games to teach them how to beat them. But eventually, like at the most intense moments when they have to go through their most intense training, like final tests, they find out that it actually wasn't actually a test, but it was actually the war that was actually being fought. So that is bad communication, but they thought necessary communication so that Ender and his teammates wouldn't know that they were actually in the fight, and they thought instead it was just part of like the strategy games they were playing. See how that segue worked?
You know what? That's not where I was anticipating that segue going. Because I was going to give you a gold star for that segue. Elt has a whole chart with gold stars. She's been doing incredible on her segues recently. Now I'm thinking a silver star, because that was a huge spoiler.
Sure.
And I understand that the book came out in 1985. So at this point, like, spoilers are going to happen. Like, we know that Darth Vader is Luke's father. Like, these are just things that... Look, these are just things that you know if you're around, because things are old. But, spoiler alert, we're going to have to put that in the notes. If you're already listening and we just spoiled it for you, sorry. But for other future people, we're going to have to put it in the notes, because that's quite a spoiler there, Elt. But it's still a good segue, so we'll give you a silver star.
Hooray!
There. Can you explain our pearl clutching ratings to the lovely folk out there?
Yeah, now for our ratings, which, as a reminder, the way we rate is we have our pearl clutching scales, specially designed by us for the podcast, and we clutch pearls according to violence, language, and romance. And each thing has a 0 to 4 scale, with 0 being the best. This is one time that you want to be 0. We aim for 0. See, this is how we play with your minds like this. We aim for 0. And 4 is like, why is this even in the book? And it's not just for children's book. 4 is, for me, terrible for everything. I don't want 4s anywhere. But that's how it goes. 0 to 4. And for Ender's Game, we actually have violence is a 3, because it does get pretty gritty. You have like a kid who's torturing squirrels, and like people, some of the kids are beating each other up. Ender like really like lays someone out, right?
2 people.
And the kid dies, or there's terrible stuff going on. He kind of does, it's sort of like a self-defense, like proactive self-defense thing. He doesn't arbitrarily do it.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh. Language is a 3 because they had to throw an S word in there. Thanks, Mr. Card. But yeah, they did. They threw a few, there's a few bad words in there. And then romance, thankfully, is a 0.
Woohoo! Woohoo's for the 0s.
Yeah, yay. There is one point where all the kids sort of have to strip down, but I think they're like, it's part of their, like the suits that they're changing into or something like that, or maybe
they're
getting checked over or something. It has nothing, it's not an inappropriate nature of the stripping down. No. And it's not like a detailed situation.
No, it's not detailed. It's not sexual. It's like when you join the army, you know, you're all like equal and they're all naked or something. And it's pop. Does someone like steal their uniforms? Anyway, the point is the nakedness is not sexual, which is one of the interesting things that I love about Orson Scott Card. He deals with subjects in a very matter-of-fact way. I don't think in this book in particular, but in possibly some of the sequels to this book and then in some of the other books he writes about, sex comes up, but it's not super steamy, hot, like X-rated sex, but it's also not so tame that you don't know what's going on. I mean, he doesn't describe the sex, but he'll talk about maybe, well, it's almost always married couples having sex or the idea of making children. And it's just a matter of fact, a woman and a man to create children and to have a family have to have sex. And maybe they're in love with each other and maybe it's romantic, but it just is. You know, he doesn't sit in it. He doesn't live in it. It's like, this is going to be a part of it because I'm writing about real people and real people do real things, but I'm not going to like glorify it, which is one of the reasons I just love him as an author so much, because he writes real characters that are multifaceted and have real thought processes. Like, you get to see his character's thought processes and you get to see them think sometimes, what would happen if I do A or what would happen if I do B? Like, you get to see, just get to see how they think and the things that they do. And again, it's not whitewashed, but it's not X-rated. It's just real.
Well, and none of that is in this book, at least romance-wise. You've read much more of Orson Scott Card than I have. I've read Ender's Game, and there's something about Ender's Game that when you read it, you just want to read everything he's ever written. And while his other work is also very good, or at least I read Ender's Shadow, which is kind of like a companion series to Ender's Game, because Ender's Game itself, there's another 3 books in the series. Even though now we're only speaking about the first one is the most famous, basically, because it's the one that resonated, I think, the most with such a broad audience, as far as age range wise. So Ender's Shadow is also very good, but there's something about Ender's Game that you can't describe it. There's some sort of magic. And even I know from people that I've recommended it to, one person who I recommended it to was just, I have to read all the books in the series, did whatever. And I warned her, I said, it's not going to be the same as Ender's Game. Like, they're going to be good, but it's not going to be the same. And she came back afterwards like, yes, I did like them, but it's true. It's not the same as Ender's Game.
I think because he's a good author. So whatever he writes is good, but Ender's Game was unique. Like we said, the the soldiers in this war are children because the world government has decided that to create the best soldiers, they need to start when they're young and really see the kids and figure out who has the skills that they need. And his writing style, all of these things that once you read other books of his, you get used to and you just say, oh, this is a good writer. When you read it the first time in Ender's Game, plus he creates this whole world and he describes the battle scenes and the training scenes, which, by the way, I can't picture in my head for the life of me because they're upside down, but they're floating or something. It's very confusing. But yes, there's just this book, I think, is so different. But the other books, like The Speaker for the Dead, is really good, but that's more of a morality play. It happens to be in space. It happens to involve Ender, but you could have put a similar story in Earth in 2021. And Ender's Shadow is also really good, but you already know the story of Ender's Game when you're reading Ender's Shadow. So nothing's new, you just see it from a slightly different perspective.
Maybe. It's also true that sometimes there's just books that hit a certain magic and there's not...
Yeah.
You can't really explain why. It's just like, you just hit the magic in that one.
That's true.
It's actually, the one that I read, Orson Scott Card has a full foreword in it, which I highly recommend finding the edition that has this foreword in it. I don't remember what year it was printed. I don't know if it was a 10th anniversary or 15th year anniversary or something like that, where he writes, wow, I can't believe this book resonated so strongly. I never thought it would. I'm like, obviously, every writer wants their books to just live on. But in general, you should read author forwards. Sorry, just a side. In general, read author forwards. They're usually very interesting. But this one, Orson Scott Card's a few pages, and he talks about how he didn't expect it to resonate so much with kids. So a lot of teens, he got a lot of letters from teens in like advanced classes to say, thank you for understanding us, like what it's like to be the smart kid, which he did not anticipate. He writes about how certain critics are like, why is this book such a big deal? There's no literary value to it. And he's like, well, I wasn't setting out to write literary value. I set out to write a book that people can read and understand. So I don't really care what you're saying because I want my book to be understood, not something to pontificate, you know, on.
Yeah.
There's a few other things there, but I think he's also someone who's very into military strategy, like from a historical point of view, and he reads a lot of that stuff. Mm. So I think a lot of that translated into Ender's Game, him like devising like battle strategies and things like that, is also because it's part of his like own hobby interest sort of things.
Interesting.
But yeah, I can't really visualize also sometimes with, where is everybody here right now? What?
Which just goes to show you what an amazing book it is, because those battle scenes, or those mock battle scenes, take up a good portion of the book, and neither of us can picture them. But it doesn't matter, because the book is so good. That is one of the reasons I would want to see the movie, because I feel like maybe in the movie they would show what those training sessions look like. But otherwise, I've heard the movie is not great, so I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I also, at first when I saw it was going to be adapted to film, it was exciting, and then you realize that whatever magic the book has, it's not going to translate. And not against, it has nothing to do with the character, with, you know, with the actors and the director, but sometimes
you just can't.
Yeah. And also not because I'm against adaptations. I'm usually pretty forgiving of adaptations, but I could see that whatever magic the book has might not translate to the, like probably won't translate to the film.
Yeah. But what you were saying about, you know, people saying it doesn't have literary value or people relating to it very well. And I think that's, again, in this book, but in everything that Card writes, he writes real characters. No matter what the setting, one of his series that I really love and that we will have to discuss, he writes a series about women in the Bible. So it's one book about Sarah, one book about Rebecca, and then a book about Rachel and Leah, which there's supposed to be a sequel coming out, and I've been waiting for that book because the first one, that one really stops in the middle. You know, sometimes there's a sequel, but the first book ended and you don't really need the sequel.
Yeah.
This one, you need the sequel. So he can write about people in space, or he can write about people from thousands of years ago living in the desert. And it doesn't matter because what he's writing is people and people's relationships with themselves, with their husbands, their wives, their children, their friends, their colleagues, and the real decisions that people have to make. And some authors just get that. They can just write people and you feel like you've actually met the person because they're so full. And that's what Card does. I mean, even Ender's Game, which is mostly populated, most of the main characters are kids, right? They're like 12, 13, 10 in that range. But they're not, he treats them well. And he Maybe that's why some kids related to it so much, because they thought, oh, here's an adult who understands that even though we're young, life can be tricky for us, and we also have decisions we have to make, and we also have quandaries, and we have problems. Not everything is easy, and not everything is hard. Like, we're real people. And he writes, like, Ender, who is, you know, the savior of the human race, and he's the smartest, and he's also the most compassionate, but he's also ruthless, but, like, unintentionally ruthless. Like, the two kids that he beats up who die, he doesn't mean to kill them. He just means to stop them from bullying him, because they've been bullying him for ages. So he's a real person. I mean, he's a little bit more than a real person because he's the smartest person ever. But, you know, generally speaking, like, he's an actual human being with thoughts and feelings and motivations.
And guilt about certain things.
Oh, yeah. Guilt.
Yeah. And it's also funny also because he has siblings. His older brother and sister are also geniuses, but they have, like, they slant a little bit more toward, like, evil genius, because they write these, like, political, they try to, like, rile up Earth with these, like, political, like, essays or something.
Well, I think they're, like, the yin and yang. Like, his brother's basically a sociopath, you know, super genius, ruthless, but, like, calculated. And then his sister's also a super genius, but compassionate. So that's why, like, in the world that Ender lives in, parents are only supposed to have 2 children. But his parents were allowed to have 3 because the powers that be decided that the blend of the sister and the brother, who are both extremes, would blend perfectly to create Ender, who would be the savior, basically. Which I keep on saying, and I know it has a religious tone to it. I don't think the book has a religious tone. Just...
Yeah, not really. Yeah.
Even though Orson Scott Card is Mormon, and I know some people have a problem with him being Mormon, but it's not in the book.
And why do you care what he believes in?
People are weird, and they care.
Yeah, whatever. Especially because it doesn't... His writing is just his writing. He's not trying to proselytize or anything.
No, not at all.
And also, even though it's a sci-fi and they're fighting aliens and stuff like that, it really does not seem... Like you're saying with the people, the characters really do seem to be primary, and the sci-fi stuff just—it's just part of the setting almost. Like it does seem secondary, even thirdary to the story.
Tertiary, I believe, is the word you're looking for.
Okay. Who even knows what that means? Thirdary and fourthary.
Look, sometimes you know a cool word, and if you have an opportunity to use it, you used it. So I used it.
Which word, mine or yours?
Mine.
Oh. Okay. Got it.
Anyway, we could go on and on about Ender's Game, but I think this is as good a place as any to stop. I think we've done a pretty good job and hopefully convinced everyone listening, if you haven't read it, even though you now kind of know a spoiler, you should still read it. It's so good. You should read it. Your kids should read it. Your dog should read it. Heck, your cat should read it. It's very good.
Read it to strangers on the street.
Beautiful. Oh, we could all come together through Ender's Game. It'd be so beautiful. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Remember, when you have an opportunity to, maybe subscribe to the podcast, share it with a friend, write a review, give us 5 stars, give us 5 gold stars, like Elt gets gold stars for her good segues.
Right. And follow us on Instagram. Oh My Word Podcast, we're there as well. And we post lots of fun stuff there. And we tell you some of the stuff that we're up to and some of the stuff we're reading. And we have our episode reveals there and our follow-ups. All that kind of stuff.
And you can send us a message there. If you have a question about something we've talked about or something you think we should cover, we will definitely take your recommendations under advisement.
And that's all we can say about that.
That is all we can say about that. And on that very Forrest Gumpian ending, we shall end this episode. Thank you so much for listening, folks.
Catch you later. Cheers, cheers.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Oh My Word. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to subscribe and write a review. And please share the show with your friends. If you didn't like it, you can share the show with your enemies. Please also follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. There we post episode updates, our ratings for each book, and also our personal reading recommendations. Music for the show is by Tim Burke. Editor is Gabriel Yaffe. We'll see you next week.